up, radio fans? Welcome to Transition State. I'm your host, Adam Smiley. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM on the dial or online citr.ca. We just heard Bonobo. That was 10 Tigers. And we're about to hear some Planet Smashers. So buckle up.
Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
You in a simple gray coat, in a simple white load.
we're back. That was Tegan and Sarah with Sentimental Tune. Before that, we heard Planet Smashers, Scientific Explanation. So you're listening to Transition State. This is the show where we talk about pharmaceutical know-how, the art and science of modern pharmaceutical practice. This week, I sat down with Emma Kim, one of the smartest girls around, currently working on some research and basically a member of the faculty undergrads. So stay tuned for that exciting interview coming up later. But first, we're going to hear some more music. This is a band that is easier to write than it is to pronounce. I guess you'd say Japanese Girls. This band is Japanese Girls with no vowels. The song is Laughing Gas. Can I just ask, what did that have to do with Japanese Girls? I'm not getting it here. The name of that band was Japanese Girls, with no vowels. I don't know. We were listening to that, and alarm bells went off in my head. That could have been a poser band. Beware, Japanese Girls. I'm not sure about this album Circulation, and I'm not sure if you're not a poser band. Sorry.
Queer Film Festival is back for its 26th year in theaters August 14 to 24. More than 80 films from 11 countries, including Russia, Brazil, Italy, and the Philippines, showcase themes of gender identity, forbidden love, and culture. Super Pass is available now and tickets on sale July 24. For tickets and more info, check out queerfilmfestival.ca. Support the festival. Donate $10 by texting GiverTen. spelled G-I-V-E-R 10 to 45678.
And we're back. And we're finished hating on Japanese girls. I don't know. Maybe that's a good band. Maybe that's a good name. What do I know? Anyway, earlier this week, I sat down with Emma Kim. Let's hear what she had to say. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
You ready?
Sure.
Why do girls love pharmacy?
My mom told me that it's the lifestyle that you can have, but in my mind, maybe girls care more about people in general and know how to care for. I mean, men do too, but just the way of delivering it. Pharmacy, I think it needs people who are empathetic. You've been taught from day one that you need to care for them, you have to express in a right way so they know they're not in it by themselves and work together. And I think females are more, I guess, predisposed to being able to do that naturally without being taught.
Okay, okay. Yeah, a lot of girls in pharmacy. Do you have a favorite drug?
I guess I would say warfarin.
Warfarin.
For now.
Unbelievable.
I know most about it. There's a lot of data about it. There's lots of controversy as well, so it's interesting.
You want to know Dr. Alban's favorite drug?
You can do it.
Macrolide antibiotics.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Elisa?
Elisa.
Elisa's favorite drug was acetazolamide.
Oh, acetazolamide. There is a drug that I can't even say the name of. It's a cardiovascular drug.
Oh, dear.
Makes no sense. I can't remember. Something zolamide. Yeah.
Captopril?
No, not at all.
Want to know my favorite drug?
What is it?
Guaifenesin. I'm sure it'll change later, but I love
guaifenesin.
Guaifenesin?
Guaifenesin.
Guaifenesin? There's an I in it. Oh, anyway, at least I know how to speak. Guaifenesin. It's so cool. There's like no side effects. It does like a very sort of narrow thing, but it does it well.
Mm-hmm.
It gets, a lot of times they throw it into like a lot of cough and cold stuff, just willy-nilly, but just straight up guaifenesin, expectorant, no side effects, no interactions, safe, sweet. That's what I'm talking about.
Sweet.
Okay, your favorite drug is warfarin.
Sure.
Okay. Well, can we talk? Okay, I have a couple other favorite questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite functional group? Do you like chemistry?
I used to hate it. I would say hydroxyl group.
Okay, same as Dr. Alban.
Oh.
Huh. And what's your favorite nucleotide?
Adenosine.
Wow.
Build up, bulk up all ATPs, your energy in your body source.
Is it adenine?
Adenosine, adenine, they're all the same thing, but the actual makeup of it is different. Like, some parts will have phosphate, the other one doesn't have the actual sugar base. We'll just talk about the, you know.
The ribose. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good answer. Now we're going to talk about warfarin.
Sure.
Okay, so the reason I like guaifenesin, no interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that about warfarin?
Nope.
Warfarin interacts with everything.
Absolutely.
First of all, CYP enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
And also anything that affects, you know, the clotting cascade.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes foods. Mm-hmm. Anything vitamin K.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on warfarin, there's a whole list of stuff that you're just not allowed to take, including broccoli.
That's not true.
Okay.
You're advised not to change your diet.
Keep eating broccoli?
The exact same way you used to.
Okay, but it's going to counteract the effect of warfarin.
No, that's why you are being asked to go to the lab frequently.
Okay.
To establish the therapeutic dose that works for you.
Okay.
And less and less frequent, that monitoring is not needed as long as you keep the same diet.
Okay.
And including drugs and many other things.
Okay. How about... I mean, another thing I like about guaifenesin is no side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But warfarin?
Okay, so drugs with no side effect.
Yeah.
Does not have an effect. Can you tell me the actual therapeutic effect in clinical trials of guaifenesin?
I don't know of any clinical trials, but...
There were many.
The clinical effect is, doesn't it loosen up, like, phlegm?
Well, that's the mechanism of action, what's proposed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when it's compared to placebo and other drugs that's been historically used for cough, such as, I guess, codeine, honey and, you know, lemon, natural health products.
Okay. Have you read these trials?
Well, yeah. So, in summary, it may work for people who find benefit in it, but chances are it doesn't... Like, it's really hard to pinpoint whether you were getting better on your own or the drug actually helped. Because it's a self-limiting disease. Cardiovascular disease is not like that. It's progressing. More likely than not.
Okay.
If so there's no intervention.
You're sort of saying, big deal, guaifenesin has no side effects. It practically has any effect at all.
It can, but you won't know well.
Okay, but back to warfarin.
Mm-hmm.
Side effects.
Yeah.
Include?
Hemorrhage. Non-significant bleeding, let's say, like, when you bruise or when you're flossing your gum, it keeps bleeding. Basically to do with bleeding in general.
And people die, right?
People can.
Yeah, people do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just with any other drugs.
Okay, and warfarin was invented, correct me if this is wrong, but warfarin, you know, it's like, the Warf was like the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation or something, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, and they invented it as a rat poison.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a drug with side effects that are deadly, interactions that are numerous, and that was originally invented as a rat poison.
So when you talk about history, like, the reason why natural health products don't have much of support as much as prescribed drugs is things like warfarin, yeah, it comes from a different history. It comes from a natural health product. It's from sweet clover leaf. And cows were, like, grazing on it, and all of a sudden they were dying. So that's where the investigation happened. And, you know, ASA aspirin,
mm-hmm.
it comes from a willow bark tree. So natural health product. The reason why it's used extensively every day with, like, numerous clinical trials showing its effectiveness is it started from a natural product, but it has been developed to tailor towards human drug therapy. So everything comes from something. But if you're biased in terms of thinking about the history of where it came from, and that is the sole reason why you're hesitant about it using it, regardless of effectiveness of the drug,
yeah,
I think you may be blinded.
I'll give you that. It's not like a rational argument that. Like,
no, but that's a common question.
But it, just to a regular person, wouldn't that make you be like, "Whoa, I don't know if I want to take that every day."
Well, captopril that you were talking about.
Also, not my favorite drug.
ACE inhibitors were derived from, I think, venom of a snake or something.
Yeah.
But they save lives. They can save.
So the cobra venom reduces your blood pressure so bad that you're not getting blood around
and
you die.
But scientists have optimized it so that it's tailored towards, you know, helping someone's lives.
Right. Okay. Okay, let me ask you this. Is there anything we can do to, like, make warfarin therapy better?
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. The research I'm doing with Dr. Corey Nieslow and Dr. Ron Reed and Mark Hunsley focuses on using genetic information to tailor warfarin therapy for patients in preventing things like stroke, myocardial infarction, VTE, even in pregnancy because you're at higher risk of actual clotting, prevention of stroke from AFib, and many of clotting disorders like you were talking about, yes. Actually, more than 50% of the warfarin dosing is based on genetic differences in individuals.
Do you know how many people are on warfarin, say, in BC?
I wouldn't know that top of my head, but way more than dabigatran, pixaban, those new oral anticoagulants.
For the people who are on it, they've been genotyped and...
No, that's the thing. It's funny how when you think of something, that there's a reason to do something different. But because of all these skepticism and just all the questioning, you don't actually investigate. Does that doesn't really make sense to be in science. Like, when you know there is data and it's significant enough that in long term it saves more lives and saves more cost, why not try differently? But it's one of those very area that people are very just suspicious of. Does it really make a difference? And there has been trials, like clinical trials, looking at, oh, if we're using genetics in terms of adjusting doses or giving a different dose at initial point, like, does it make a difference in outcome-wise? But many of the trials, the design has been flawed. So when you're talking about randomized controlled trial, you're putting two different, let's say, different groups of people and let's say two groups, mm-hmm. but everything else has to be controlled. That's why it's called controlled trial, which right. is why you randomize people. Like, I mean, there could be in group A and B, it could be you and I. I mean, like, obviously you and I are different in terms of gender, yeah. height, ethnicity, you know,
athletic
drug
prowess.
Yeah. cooking skills. it's very different, but they attempt to minimize that differences by randomizing you, except for the treatment that you get.
Mm-hmm. So then any difference should be due
yeah.
to that.
But because the question in mind is the drug therapy is the only key thing that is different between the two groups.
So a lot of the trials, they're not doing that well?
But if you're assuming that everything else is exact same when it's not,
right.
but you are sort of mismatching to make it equal in between two groups. But in pharmacogenomic studies, they will be placed in, let's say, placebo group versus like warfarin or warfarin group that starts with, you know, standard therapy of 5 milligrams per meg per day, and then another group that starts based on their genetic genotype, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But you completely undermine the fact that everybody's genotype is different, and you haven't taken that into account whether group A has only wild types in these genetic variations versus group B doesn't. That is not taken care of.
Hmm.
Where the fundamental question in mind is, is genetic makeup going to make a difference? But you haven't used that as controlling method, I guess.
So you said there's like resistance to people doing genotyping. Where does that resistance come from? Like the pharmacists?
I think pharmacists, physicians, mostly politicians.
So where does that resistance come from?
I would say physicians, some pharmacists, and mostly politicians.
Politicians don't like genotyping? Or
no,
is it they fear what they don't understand?
It's not like they don't like it, but they're not experts in science.
Hmm.
And you have to rely on the, I guess, interpretation of scientists who are in the medical community. And when, obviously it costs money. But if you plug in the numbers, when you do genotyping, the fact is that you get answers to everything. It's a one-time thing in your life.
Answers to everything?
In terms of genomics, for the drugs that could play a role if your genetic makeup was different from one person to another. So what I do in the lab is I take someone's sample, and guess what? Sample I get from, like, what kind of sample would I be getting from a human?
Blood sample.
No, it's saliva.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm an
idiot.
Yeah.
So saliva comes, and then we extract it, and the full genome that we get is a very good quality, and it's non-invasive, and the whole amount of cost that it costs to sequence the whole genome can be applicable to any drugs that you'll be taking for the lifetime being. For the drugs that have significant impact if your, you know, metabolism is based on genetics. As you know, drugs rely heavily on liver enzymes and kidney to get metabolized. Mm-hmm. But liver enzymes, well, enzymes are coded by DNA.
All right. So, okay. Is there any, like, other than fear and just resistance, is there any, like, good reason to not be into genotyping?
I guess the personal worries about identification or the personal information that, you know, individuals' information being used for
It's pretty
wrong reasons.
Intimate,
it can be. Yeah, it's a legitimate reason. But
discrimination.
It could be. 'Cause in the past may have been used that. Like, there had could have been unintended, you know, incidents of that. But that wasn't for drug use. And my supervisor likes to say this way. He says, don't ask for answers you don't want. So we can get the full sequence, but we're not looking at whether you have Huntington's disease. It's not for diagnosis on that.
Right.
It's for us to use to optimize your drug therapy. I'm only looking at your CYP enzyme. For warfarin, I'm not looking at your sex chromosome, whether you have hemophilia, you know.
But that information is there.
Allele. As long as you haven't investigated it and it's kept in a secure way, I mean, there's risk for everything. You take anything that you want, even like walk across the street, there's a chance of getting run over by a car.
Yeah.
You get on a plane, there's a chance of, you know, dying and exploding out in the sky, just like what happened like recently in Malaysian Airlines. But I mean, you're not going to get a benefit if you don't take a risk.
Okay. Well, we got more interview coming up, but for now, let's hear some music. Studio with Emma Kim, and we're talking about the art and science of pharmacy practice. But now we're going to transition into another great art and science, and that is food. So, first of all, what's your favorite thing to eat?
I don't have one. I like a lot of things.
If you could have a wish right now, like eat
mood.
One thing right now.
Churros.
Cheerios?
No. Okay, you don't.
Oh, churros.
It's a Mexican.
Churros. Okay. I just speak. Clearly.
Okay. Okay. Let's say waffles. Fine.
Churros. I'm
easier
churros.
For you to say.
I thought you said Cheerios.
Churros.
Okay. Remind me what a churro
no,
is.
No, I hate Cheerios.
I'm like, I thought you really liked food. Okay. What's a churro?
It's a deep-fried pastry muzzled with cinnamon and sugar.
Okay, I've had those
very
at Costco.
Fluffy.
Right?
No, they have to be freshly made.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good.
Okay, cross that. I'm going to say something else.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's start again. So what's your very favorite thing to eat?
That's a different question.
Dramatic pause. What's your favorite thing to eat? Or if you could have something to eat right now, what would it be?
Right now, I want surf and turf.
Surf and turf, which is steak and shrimp cocktail?
Prawns. No. Prawns. Like, cooked.
Okay.
Freshly from, you know.
Wow, okay, that's a...
Not like
that's
thawed.
That's
cost
an expensive dish. Okay. What's your very favorite thing to make food?
I'm really good at lasagna.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Well known.
Lasagna, huh?
With a pinch of spice in it. Secret is to mix pork and beef together. But it has to be, well, some fennel seeds and spinach. And the sauce has to be really good. I know I can pick out the brands that I know it blends well, but, like, Costco for things or any mass-produced, like, very tasteless, like, you know, sauces don't work well.
One really good lasagna I had that my friend made, it was sort of like a vegetarian hippie crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of meat, he fried up all these falafel balls.
Oh, those are good too.
In the lasagna.
Oh.
You had this?
No, but falafel, I mean, I could eat that and miss out on steak.
Okay. Do you have a favorite restaurant?
Sort of.
Which one?
I'm very hard to please, so...
Yeah, okay. Where's
well, I've been to so many in Vancouver, but they continue to disappoint me when I, like... If I were to pick something and recommend to someone, it has to be consistently good.
Right.
And surprising, but always delectable, but I haven't seen been able to find that in Vancouver.
So no place stands out?
There's one in Whistler that I really like.
What is it?
It's called Rimrock Cafe.
Rimrock?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Super expensive, but really worth it.
And what do you get there?
I have this truffle risotto with lobster and asparagus.
Wow.
Oh, the sticky toffee pudding with like melted mouth, like ice cream. The gelato made in the house, actually. It was so good. Yeah, I know.
Cool. Okay, do you prefer McDonald's or Burger King hamburgers?
I haven't eaten in Burger King.
Good. That's a good answer.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think, like, food and cuisine has anything to do with, like, anything comparable to pharmacy? Anything in common?
I think they both are science.
Definitely.
There's good reasons to do certain things, and there's a process of going about it. Like, skeleton structure of, like, oh, you put the onion in first and, you know, aromatics first to get the flavor together. The fat base, like, and then you put other ingredients and then you finish it up. And then things like herbs that are just sort of garnished, you don't want to be cooking with it. So there's a flow of what comes in when and when it's used the best in combination with what.
Yeah.
And pharmacy, I see the same way. And it's individualized. Like, if I like lasagna spicy way, I'm going to make a touch of, like, you know, peppercorn sauce and then a little bit of that here and there. And it really depends on the person who I'm cooking for. And in pharmacy, going back to warfarin, if a patient just had an ACS and is at low risk of, you know, developing another, I guess, cardiovascular event, then chances are they may start on clopidogrel with ASA or maybe clopidogrel on its own. It depends on whether they got a stent or open heart surgery. Some people go on warfarin and some are even with, you know, combination of anticoagulants. It really depends on the person of how likely of response that you're going to get and the benefits and, you know, the bad side of it too. So I think there's a structure in both things, you know, food and science, pharmacy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
but
the recipe.
Yeah, you mix and match and adjust, intending the best.
Yeah, like synergistic effects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think food is a drug?
Oh, it definitely can be.
Definitely.
I don't know why. I mean, I often get headaches. Friends and my family, they know. Like, no, I don't drink coffee, actually. If I'm in a bad mood or having a headache or some sort of pain, they gotta get something in my mouth. Like, just anything that is pleasing, like, you know, any sweets or any nibbles, like, I have to eat something or I get really cranky.
You get, like, your physical...
Oh, yeah.
Physical response.
I can feel myself going hypoglycemic.
Your body chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Then it is a
feel lightheaded and all those symptoms come up and then I have to make sure I eat.
Do you think then there's room in the future for, like, a restaurant and a pharmacy, if not, like, in the same building, at least working together?
Could be. I think it's a lifestyle you can...
Idea?
No.
I just invented an amazing idea.
No, that's not the first. And what? I have an idea, but I'm not telling anyone.
I just told you my idea?
No. Well, it's similar, but it's not exactly.
Okay, let me guess your idea. Let me guess.
This was...
Pharmacy.
This was laid out before I got into pharmacy, so that's... You can't take credit for it.
A pharmacy that's also like a club that you can dance at.
You could try that.
That's
see
not
how
your
many
idea.
People you get.
I got your idea. It's
no.
Like McDonald's, but with pharmacogenomic testing.
Ew.
Okay, never mind. All right. Well, I think we've had a good chat.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely happy that you could be here this week.
That was fun.
We're going to play out with some music. Is there anything you'd like to hear?
Can you play... I really like jazz, so... Can you play My Prince Will Come? One day. Oh, shoot. I don't remember the name, the whole thing. Thank you.
was the Bill Evans Trio playing Someday My Prince Will Come. Before that, in the middle of the interview, we heard some rad Kaitami mixes. Kaitami? Who knows? Who knows with freaking East Van? Anyway, the song was Two Lions, and the remix was Drugs in Dreams remix with Zeds on Drugs and Dreams. Now we're going to hear some more music. This is the Slow Learners playing their hit, Party Police.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last. Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Loading Headphones, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Thank you. absorb my thoughts as I lay in my bed, still thinking of all the things I could have said. I wanted a life, but it seems I am dead. But now I am all alone. But now I am so all alone. But now
and we're back. That was 90 Pounds of Ugly playing All Alone. And wasn't that nice? So that's it for this week, radio fans. I hope you enjoyed tuning in. I want to say a special thank you to Emma Kim for being with us this week. We sure learned a lot. We have one more rad track coming up for you. That will be a band called Nature Of. And we're going to hear their super rad track, Sugar. Until then, next week when you tune in. Until then, just keep listening and stay pharmaceutically sound, people.
Well, your eyes stayed young. It's your mother's son. In the ropes you heard. While you'd wait inside for Sam to throw you a bone. Still a week, day you will wake and say, yeah, I've opened up, I can love, I know what this is for. Still a week, day you will wake and say, yeah, I've opened up, I can love, I know what.
are the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
This is Jesse Laborde.
I'm Peter Mansbridge.
Hi, this is Ron McLean of Hockey / Movie Night in Canada.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Also on the web, CITR.ca in UBC, University of British Columbia, in Vancouver, Canada. Have our people contact your people, won't you?
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
Musqueam